Welcome back to the Mind Medicine Podcast, where we break down complex mental health topics into easy, engaging conversations for students, practitioners, and anyone curious about the brain. I'm your host, James, and today's episode is all about neuroanatomy, neurophysiology, and behavior, the building blocks of psychiatric nursing practice. In the last two decades, our understanding of the brain has truly exploded, leading to significant changes in how psychiatric disorders are assessed and treated. Dr. Morgan, could you explain how these advances have shaped mental health practice?
Certainly, James. The surge in knowledge, especially around the links between genetics, brain structure, and psychiatric symptoms, has allowed for more precise diagnoses and targeted treatments. You know that every thought, every emotion, and every action starts in your nervous system? For psychiatric mental health nurse practitioners, PMHNPs, understanding the brain isn't optional, it's essential. This knowledge explains not just why disorders occur, but also how treatments, especially psychopharmacology, work. For example, we now recognize that many symptoms have identifiable neurobiological roots, which helps guide medication and therapy choices.
That's fascinating. With this deeper knowledge base, have you noticed any impact on the stigma traditionally associated with mental illness?
Absolutely. As neuroscience reveals the biological underpinnings of psychiatric disorders, the narrative shifts from character flaws to medical conditions. This is similar to how understanding insulin's role in diabetes changed public perception. Education is a powerful stigma buster.
Let's transition to the nervous system itself. All our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors stem from its activity. Can you break down its primary functions for our listeners?
The nervous system is essentially the body's information superhighway. It transfers, processes, and integrates signals, allowing us to sense the environment, make decisions, and act. Without this system, coordinated movement or coherent thought would be impossible.
So, would you say that virtually every psychiatric symptom can be traced back to alterations in neural function?
In many cases, yes. Neurodeficits often underlie psychiatric disorders. For instance, disruptions in neurotransmitter systems or brain circuits can manifest as mood swings, anxiety, or cognitive changes, highlighting why understanding neurobiology is essential for mental health professionals.
Digging deeper, the neuron is the key player here. The neuron is the basic building block of the nervous system. It's like the brain's microprocessor. Could you describe its structure and why it matters for psychiatric care?
A neuron consists of a cell body, dendrites, and an axon. The cell body houses the nucleus, dendrites receive incoming messages, and the axon sends signals away. The cell body, the control center, the axon like a messenger wire sending signals outward, and the dendrites antenna-like structures that receive information. Think of dendrites as antennae collecting information, and the axon as a wire transmitting it. Miscommunication at any point can disrupt brain function.
Are there psychiatric conditions where this communication goes awry?
Absolutely. In disorders like schizophrenia, for example, faulty signal transmission between neurons is implicated. This is why some medications aim to restore balance in neurotransmitter activity, essentially fine-tuning the brain's electrical circuitry.
Moving on, the nervous system is split into central and peripheral divisions. What distinguishes these, and why is this division clinically relevant?
The central nervous system, CNS, includes the brain and spinal cord, serving as the command center. The peripheral nervous system, PNS, connects the CNS to the rest of the body muscles, organs, glands. Each has specialized roles. For instance, CNS lesions often affect cognition, while PNS problems may manifest as muscle weakness or sensory loss.
How do these systems interact in psychiatric disorders?
Many psychiatric medications target the CNS to modulate mood or behavior, but side effects can occur peripherally, like dry mouth or tremors. A holistic understanding helps clinicians anticipate and manage these complexities.
Let's delve into the somatic and autonomic nervous systems. How do they differ in their function and relevance to mental health?
The somatic system governs voluntary movements like moving your arm. Within the peripheral system is the autonomic nervous system, which runs your body on autopilot. It has two teams: the sympathetic system, your fight-or-flight accelerator; the parasympathetic system, your brake pedal, restoring calm and saving energy; while the autonomic system manages involuntary functions such as heart rate and digestion. The autonomic system further splits into sympathetic and parasympathetic branches, which balance stress responses and rest states.
Can dysregulation in these systems contribute to psychiatric symptoms?
Definitely. For example, chronic anxiety can result from overactivation of the sympathetic system. Think of a car engine, revved too high for too long. Conversely, some medications may overstimulate the parasympathetic system, leading to fatigue or sluggishness.
Now, let's talk about brain tissue specifically, gray and white matter. Could you clarify their roles using an analogy?
Sure. Gray matter is like a city's downtown full of activity, processing information in nerve cell bodies and synapses. White matter, by contrast, is like the network of highways connecting different neighborhoods. Efficient communication depends on both regions working in tandem.
So, if white matter is damaged, information can't travel as efficiently?
Exactly. Conditions like multiple sclerosis involve white matter loss, causing disconnects between brain regions. In psychiatric care, subtle disruptions in these networks may underlie cognitive or emotional symptoms.
Shifting focus, let's explore the key brain regions, like the frontal, temporal, parietal, and occipital lobes. How do their functions map onto psychiatric symptoms?
Each lobe has specialized tasks. The frontal lobe manages executive functions, planning, memory, decision-making, and personality. Dysfunction here can cause impulsivity or mood changes. The temporal lobe handles memory, language, comprehension, emotions, and auditory processing disruptions may lead to hallucinations. The occipital lobe processes vision and interpretation, and the parietal lobe integrates sensory data for touch, taste, reading, and writing. Lesions or anomalies in these areas often correspond to distinct psychiatric presentations.
Can you give an example of a disorder related to a specific lobe?
Certainly. Damage to Broca's area in the frontal lobe can cause expressive aphasia, while temporal lobe abnormalities are linked with auditory hallucinations in schizophrenia. Understanding these relationships informs both diagnosis and tailored treatment. If a patient suddenly loses the ability to understand language, which lobe might be affected? Yep, the temporal lobe.
Let's transition to deeper structures, the limbic system and basal ganglia. How do these influence psychiatric symptoms?
The limbic system, comprising the hypothalamus, thalamus, hippocampus, and amygdala, is the brain's emotion and memory center. The hippocampus for memory, the amygdala for fear and aggression, the thalamus for sensory relay, and the hypothalamus for regulating hunger, thirst, and hormones. Together, they shape emotions, behavior, and motivation. Dysfunctions can lead to mood disorders or memory issues. The basal ganglia, meanwhile, orchestrate movement and habit formation. Side effects of antipsychotics, like tremors or rigidity, stem from impacts on these circuits.
So, would you say that many psychiatric medications act on these deeper brain structures?
Absolutely. For instance, antidepressants often target neurotransmitters in the limbic system to stabilize mood, while antipsychotics can affect basal ganglia pathways, sometimes causing movement disorders as unintended consequences. The basal ganglia is like the city's traffic control system, managing motor activity and automatic actions like walking. But here's the kicker. Many psychotropic medications affect this area, sometimes causing side effects like involuntary movements, known as extrapyramidal symptoms.
Finally, let's consider the brainstem and cerebellum. While often associated with basic life functions, do they play roles in psychiatric conditions?
Yes, and increasingly so. The brainstem manages vital functions, breathing, heart rate, arousal, by producing key neurotransmitters like dopamine and norepinephrine. The cerebellum, traditionally seen as a motor control center, is now recognized for its role in attention and emotional regulation. Disorders like depression and ADHD show altered activity in these regions.
Are there clinical tests that help assess these structures in mental health practice?
Certainly. The Romberg test, for example, can detect cerebellar issues, while autonomic measures like heart rate variability offer insights into brainstem function. These assessments complement psychiatric evaluation, providing a more holistic picture of brain health. And that's a wrap. Today we unpacked how the brain's structure influences psychiatric care from neurons to the limbic system. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review. You can also follow us for more deep dives into psychiatry, psychopharmacology, and mental health nursing education. Thanks for tuning in to PMHN Podcast. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep making a difference.